Look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now.
Raised by three. As we partake of the Lord's Supper today, remember that there are two ordinances of church according to Scripture, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and both of those are connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Remember that the Lord's Supper is a memorial supper. It does not impart grace or make you a better Christian, but it's a memorial supper. We're told to do this to show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Scripture does not specify as to how often we do this. It just simply says as often as you do this. To partake of the Lord's Supper, a person, first of all, must be born again and also must examine himself and confess all known sin. 1 Corinthians 11, 28-29 says this, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So let's take a few minutes and bow in prayer and examine ourselves before we partake. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I ask Brother Chris if he would lead us in prayer and thank the Lord for his body, which is broken on the cross for us.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come today, Lord, and observe your supper table. Lord, we thank you for the body of Lord Jesus healed up on the cross for our sins. Father, we thank you for the crown of thorns, Lord, he took in our place. Lord, we thank you, Father, that by his stripes we're healed, Lord. And help us, Lord, to always keep this in remembrance, Lord, as we go through day by day. We ask, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. I ask Brother Jim if he would lead us in prayer. Thank the Lord for the blood of Christ which was shed for us on the cross of Calvary.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you by Jesus, Lord, who hung on the cross for our sins, Lord, and shed his blood and washed us white as snow with his blood, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, just help us to remember, Lord, what he did on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Scripture says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this privilege. We had to be here in the house of God today and also to partake of this communion supper. And Lord, help us, I pray, to live the kind of life that would be pleasing unto thee. I pray that you would bless, Lord, each one who has come today. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless in our service to follow. And, Lord, do a work in our hearts, we pray, as Christians. Draw us ever near to yourself. And, Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' matchless name and forsake we ask him. Amen.
things while I'm doing the announcements.
That's fine.
Sorry, the mic's in the way. Okay. First of all, don't forget this next Sunday, Brother John Zwingle will be here. So I just want to remind you of that. And then secondly, we have a whole bunch of these left. Okay? So please take them. They don't do us any good just sitting here, right? So if you have family, friends, loved ones that you know, please take them and use them for that purpose. There may be some that live a long distance away, but will receive a blessing from a calendar like this. Sam has the envelopes in the back that you can put these in and mail them. They're a little over $2, I believe, to mail. So it's not real expensive to mail them, regular postage. So trust that we'll take that opportunity to be a witness. There may be people who don't want to come to church, but the gospel is in here, and it will definitely be a blessing. Yes?
I have to tell you a story. My sisters and I get together for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And first thing on my younger sister's mouth was, "Where's my calendar?" Mm-hmm. I forgot to get the calendar this month. Mm-hmm. And it was $2.04.
Yes, $2.04, $2.05. It just kind of depends, but that's about right, yes. So there are people that definitely look forward to receiving those, and so hopefully we'll take that opportunity. All right, I think that's all the announcements I know of at the moment. So, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Down here doesn't get any better than that. Amen.
All right. Let's take our hymn books once again. 375. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Let's stand, please, if you want to.
Gospel Airs used to do. I think you'll probably recognize it.
Mankind's world listen on the hills of glory. Such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. Still Jesus will outshine them all.
All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. Before we pray, you know, 1 Chronicles begins with genealogies. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I have a tendency to want to skip over the genealogies. The names, particularly, you know. If you have a hard time pronouncing names, you're not alone. You know, I am told that D.L. Moody had a terrible time with the Bible names. And one time he was preaching in England in a crusade, and he read his text, and he stumbled over a name. And so he stopped and he started over again and stumbled over it again. Well, he did that about three times, and finally he just bowed his head and he said, "Lord, please help this poor stumbling preacher to preach your word." And he went ahead and preached his message, and, you know, the Lord blessed in a great way. But we may have a tendency to skip the genealogies, but really we shouldn't do that, because they're just as inspired as the rest of Scripture, aren't they? We have a Bible schedule, this one here, which if you follow the schedule, gets you through your Bible reading for a year. You'll be able to read the whole Bible in a year if you follow the schedule. And of course, that includes, you know, the genealogies. And so I guess it really is good for us to try to, you know, try to pronounce those words. And, you know, the genealogies are important because they trace the line of the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heir to the throne of David, is he not? And one day he is going to be seated on that throne. May not be too long. You know, we were talking before Sunday school this morning about the Lord's return. I remember, you know, my wife and I both got saved in 1965. And I remember back then, you know, we were excited. A lot of preaching about the Lord's return. And didn't happen then. But it certainly could have. And it certainly can today. I mean, it could be before we're finished today. You know, what we're told to do is to watch, right? We're not looking for the tribulation. We're looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for him, and his return could be today. And of course, if he should come today in the rapture, we know that begins the great tribulation, 7 years of trouble on this earth. And at the end of that, Christ comes back, destroys the Antichrist, and then he establishes his throne on this earth, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem, the Bible says. You know, that is a reality. And it's coming. And so the genealogies are important because they trace the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, Matthew traces the line of Christ from David. And likewise, Luke traces the line of Christ from David. But they're not the same lines. If you follow through, you know, one of those is traced through Solomon, and another one is traced through another one of the sons. So they're not, you know, although they all come from David, they're not traced through the same, you know, the same ones. I think Luke is probably, that's probably the line of Mary, I imagine. And of course, the Lord Jesus would be heir to the throne through Mary, would he not? Because Joseph was not his human father. Jesus had no human father. And actually, if you go through that, I don't have time today to deal with it, but the line of Joseph, you know, that line actually was cut off at a certain point. And so, you know, the Lord Jesus would be heir to the throne of David, you know, through, I think, through Mary. And that would be Luke's, you know, Luke's genealogy. But they're important because they, you know, they trace the line of the Messiah. But then the genealogies also contain some hidden nuggets that you would miss if you don't read them. Some of those things that we tend to skip over, you know, contain some nuggets. And if we don't read them, then we miss out on a blessing. And tucked away in this list of genealogies are two very important verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And they're in verses 9 and 10. Let's look at the verses here. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Let's bow for further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this privilege to be here in the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the communion that we were able to partake of. Thank you for the songs, Lord. Been a blessing to our hearts today. And now for this time, once again, when we look into your word. And Lord, I pray that as we consider the word of God today, Lord, help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. Let it sink in and bring forth fruit, Lord, in our hearts. I pray for all those here. Lord, you know what the needs are in each heart and each life. Lord, there are folks today, I'm sure, who have burdens. And there may be some folks here today that didn't feel like coming to church, and yet they came. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them as a result of their coming. And Lord, do a work in our hearts. If there be any in our midst who have never been saved, I pray that they might come to know they have Savior. And then as Christians, just meet our needs. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name and for his sake we ask it. Amen. Jabez, very interesting individual, as we find him here in the scripture. And a number of things that we can mention about him. The first thing I see is this. Is that he's an obscure individual in the Bible. An obscure individual. Unknown to man, for the most part, but obviously well known to God. You know, there are people, I'm sure, all around the world that are well known to God, but may not be known to us. All down through history, I don't know how many people, somebody had theorized that there maybe have been 30 billion people who've walked on the face of the earth. I don't know how they come up with these figures. Maybe so, maybe not. There are what, roughly 7 billion people on the face of the world today. Out of all those people, you know, you ever think about, I wonder how many of those people really knew the Lord? Probably very few, right, in comparison to the world's population. Enoch walked with God, the Bible says, and God took him. Enoch certainly stands out in his generation, doesn't he? Noah came along. Noah was a just man, the Bible says. That simply means he was a saved man. But when you read about his generation, Noah preached for 120 years, and yet when they got on the ark, there's what, 7 people? Think about that. After 120 years of preaching, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us, right? And after 120 years of preaching, when they get on the ark, there are 7 people there.
That doesn't mean that Noah was a failure, does it? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Noah was a failure. Results have to come from the Lord, don't they? I think sometimes, sometimes missionaries on deputation, they're going to a particularly fruitful field, where they get a lot of response. And of course, a lot of those missionaries can come back, and they give their report, and boy, it's a glowing report. I mean, folks are getting saved everywhere, churches are being built, and God's blessing. And a lot of times it's easier for those missionaries to get support than it is for folks going somewhere that's much more difficult. My wife and I went to school with some folks that spent 30 years in Pakistan as missionaries. Pakistan, of course, a Muslim country. And I mean, you know, those folks can work for years and have a handful of converts. In their last few years, they actually went to Afghanistan and spent a few years dealing with the Afghan people. But that's a difficult ministry, and you don't get the results that you do in some of these other places. And so a lot of times it's harder for missionaries, that they're going to that kind of a field to get the support that they need. It shouldn't be that way. Really, it shouldn't be based on people's response, should it? But rather it's based on, the need to get out the message. And really, whether people respond or not, that's up to God, isn't it? It's our responsibility to get the message out. And so this man, Jabez, is an obscure individual, as far as we're concerned, but he's obviously well known to God, isn't he? And then a second thing I see about this man is that he was born into a world of spiritual deadness. I read the text, and I'm not going to take time to read through this, but if you read the verses just before and the verses just after, I mean, it's obvious that these people are different from Jabez. They don't have the concern that Jabez has, do they? So he's surrounded by unsaved and unconcerned people, born into a world of spiritual deadness. By the way, how about us? Were we not born into a world of spiritual deadness too? I guarantee you, you can go by the parking lot of Walmart. It's probably full this morning, isn't it? And a lot of the other stores are probably, their parking lots are full this morning too. Churches, by the way, we have some seats here that could be filled, don't we? By the way, that's true about most churches. I remember a time when businesses weren't open on Sunday. Anybody remember that? Well, when we first got saved in 1965, restaurants closed, gas stations closed. I mean, it was hard to find something open on the Lord's Day. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to go out and play on the Lord's Day. Now, my mother was saved. My dad was not at that time. I believe my dad got saved before he died. But I wasn't allowed to go out and play on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. And I'm sure that was true about lots of folks. Today, it's just another day, isn't it? It's just another day. Sad for our society. But it's a world of spiritual deadness, isn't it? And that's the world that Jabez was born into. And by the way, that's true about all of us. Unless you were born into a Christian home, Lots of folks, I'm sure, if you were to give a testimony, you would say same kind of thing. You know, maybe unsaved family, unsaved friends all around us, world of spiritual deadness. That's the world that Jabez was born into. And then here's something else about him. He was destined for a life of sorrow. In fact, that's what his name means, sorrowful. He was destined for a life of sorrow. Had the Lord not intervened in his life, he would have been just like all these other people, right, that are mentioned before and that are mentioned after. He'd been just like them. By the way, if the Lord had not intervened in our lives, that'd be true about us too. Had we not had a meeting by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved by his grace, we wouldn't be here today, would we? We wouldn't be here today. Whatever you were involved in before you got saved. Now, I don't know. How many folks here got saved at a very early age? Well, praise the Lord. That's great. That is great. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. But if you got saved later in life, just think back now. Whatever you were involved in before you got saved, you'd still been involved in, right? Were it not for the grace of God. And we would have been just like Jabez. We'd have been just like all those other folks round about, headed for a life of sorrow, had the Lord not intervened in our lives. I don't know about you, and I know I've said this before, but when I got saved, I wasn't looking for God. I was not. My brother got saved when I was 13 years old, and he witnessed to me and gave me tracts. And I used to get mad at him and tell him to leave me alone, but it was sinking in. And I knew that I needed to be saved, but I was just, like a lot of folks, I was just running. And I guess I just made up my mind, you know, I'm just going to live it up while I'm here. And so that went on for 10 years until I was 23 years old. And the Spirit of God got on my trail at the age of 23 and made me realize that I was a lost sinner on my way to hell and I need to do something then, not put it off anymore. And that was the turning point in my life. But I was not looking for God. In fact, I was headed the other way as hard as I could go. But God, the Holy Spirit, got on my trail. Folks were praying for me. And I mentioned before, my wife got saved on the prayer meeting night before I got saved on. She got saved on Thursday night. I got saved on Sunday night. But that was the turning point. And God intervened and everything changed. I mean, everything changed. Up until that time, we didn't go to church. Now, we got married in a liberal church. Both of us grew up in liberal churches. And I know I said that before here, but I never heard anything there about how to be saved. Never. And the fellow that married us, I doubt seriously he was saved. I really do. He counseled us before we got married, and he gave us, you know, these things to fill out, questions and so on. And if there were any questions on there had anything to do with anything spiritual, I'd just check the big no. Like, you know, do you think it's important to go to church to have a happy marriage? I'd check the big no on there. It's the way I felt at the time. He never brought up any of those things. And so after we got married, he came to see us a couple times. And I remember he said, my wife and I have some folks over on Sunday night for kind of a little get-together, and we'd like to have you come. Well, at that time, I was playing music. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I had no interest in going to that liberal church, and I had no interest in spiritual things. I was heading down a different road until the Spirit of God got on my case. And everything changed. I mean, there was a life-changing experience. But Jabez, his name means sorrowful, and had he continued on the way he was, that's the way his life would have ended, wouldn't it? Just like the lives of lots of folks that we know. You know, isn't it a sad thing that some folks live their whole lives never knowing the Lord, and then they die and end up in hell? How sad. But that was the way with most of these people in this list. So, Jabez was destined for a life of sorrow, but then he had this life-changing experience because look, if you will, at verse number 10. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He called on the God of Israel. And that changed his life, did it not? Do you remember when you called on the Lord? Do you remember when you called on Him for salvation? If you were very young, now you may not remember that so well. If you got saved later in life, I'm sure you remember it. For me, it was a Sunday night, and I remember walking in church, lost, undone, on my way to hell. I know what the pastor preached on the five wise and five foolish virgins out of Matthew 25. That was the message he preached on. I don't think it would have mattered what he preached on, because I need to get right with the Lord. And when the invitation was given, I was the first one at the altar. When I walked out that night, I mean, I was walking in high cotton. And the stars were brighter. The moon shone brighter. The next day, the sun was brighter. The grass was greener. Everything was different because I was different. And it was that experience because I called on the Lord. Jabez had a life-changing experience. He called on the God of Israel. Then also, notice he became a man of prayer. It says in verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He became a man of prayer. One of the things that God's impressed on me as we begin this new year of 2019 is I need to spend more time in prayer. I think probably the devil would fight us more on this than maybe anything else. Now, I'm sure he fights us to keep us out of this book. I'm sure of that. And I'm sure he fights us to keep us from being a witness, but I think he probably fights us more when it comes to prayer. Jesus said men ought what? Always to pray and not to faint. Boy, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like praying. Been there? There are times when we don't feel like praying, but every time that happens, it just seems like God reminds me of that verse. It doesn't say pray if you feel like it, right? It says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means even when you don't feel like it. Because that's where the power is. And by the way, there are folks that need our prayer. I got a copy of your prayer list Ralph gave me. We have one at church. Right now, there are two friends of ours. They're desperately in need of prayer. One of them is Pastor Ken Johnson in Delmar, Maryland. He's been down at Johns Hopkins. He's had all kinds of heart problems. And they said that the backside of his heart is dead. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do for him. Some hospitals have said there's nothing more we can do. He's a good man. Good friend. And so we've been praying for him. I know this much. I know we have a great physician. And he's able to heal if it's his will. And so we're praying that God will heal Brother Ken. There's a pastor's wife, Carol Dufour, who's down with cancer. She's had it for quite a while. It has spread, according to the last email we got. And she's in a lot of pain. And so we're praying for Carol Dufour. And we're praying for a lot of other folks on our prayer list. And by the way, everybody here, I'm sure, knows somebody that needs our prayers. And we serve a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. He answers prayer. And I think maybe sometimes we don't avail ourselves of this blessing, you know, the way we should. And so this year of 2019, as the Lord tarries, I want to spend more time in prayer. And we're told to pray without ceasing. That means we can be in an attitude of prayer all the time, can't we? Regardless of what we're doing. Jabez here became a man of prayer and he got answers, didn't he? And then he became a man of prosperity. Notice he says here in verse number 10, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." He became a man of prosperity. You know, I believe God wants to bless us. Now, don't believe like some of these prosperity preachers on TV that God wants to make you a multimillionaire. Now, I don't find that in here at all. Now, in the Old Testament, you know, God blessed his people materially. That was their blessings. In the New Testament, we don't actually have a promise for material prosperity, do we? Now, God does promise to bless us spiritually, you know, if we serve him. Not only that, but he does bless us other ways too. But mainly, it's spiritual prosperity. And that's what we need, don't we? I think about Paul. I think about the Apostle Paul sitting in jail at Philippi. In the innermost prison, it's midnight, and what are they doing? Singing psalms and praising God. Now, that's spiritual prosperity. There was no earthly reason for them to be singing psalms and praising God. No natural reason, right? Roman prisons were not best places to be. But there they are, singing psalms, praising God, and God shook the jail, didn't he? That was the original jailhouse rock, wasn't it? He rocked it. And the chains fell off. And the jailer came in under great conviction. The jailer got saved. Do you think if they had been like typical Baptists? Look, typical Baptists, I'm afraid, would have been moaning the blues. Woe is me. Here I am, and look what's happened to me. That doesn't shake the jail, does it? But they were praising God and singing psalms, and that got God's attention. It got the jailer's attention, and the jailer got saved, and his whole family got saved. That was spiritual prosperity, wasn't it? on Paul's part. And so just as God blessed Jabez, God wants to bless us. Now, I'm sure if we were to take time for testimonies, everybody here could testify as to how God has blessed you in some way. We were able to get up and go today. A lot of folks can't do that. Right? There are lots of folks that can't. There are lots of folks probably on your prayer list who would like to be here but can't because of illness or whatever. But here we are. God's allowed us to be here. That's a blessing, isn't it? Everything we have, everything we are, everything we ever hope to be really is in God's hands. And every single day He blesses us. In fact, the psalmist said He loads us, right? He daily loads us down with benefits. Blessings. So, Jabez was a man of prayer. He became a man of prosperity. Then he became a man of wisdom. Notice he prays there in verse 10. Oh, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Boy, that's wisdom, isn't it? Lord, protect me from evil. You know, if the devil had his way, none of us probably would get out of here alive today. You know, he'd like to get rid of all of us, wouldn't he? But I'm thankful that God set a hedge of protection around us. He protects us on a daily basis. And, you know, I like what I heard some years ago, the servant of God is immortal until his job's done. And then he's going to take us out of here. But until that time, he protects us. And so, Lord, keep me from evil. Protect me. You know, one of our worst enemies is that old nature, right? I think it was D.L. Moody that said, the fellow that gives me the most trouble is the fellow that walks under my hat. Yeah, it's true. But then we've got the world and the devil to deal with too. And so we need God's protection from evil. So here Jabez became a man of wisdom. Keep me from evil. It says that it may not grieve me. Then he also became a man of honor. Notice it says in verse number 9 that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. More honorable than his brethren. All of us, I think, would like to have it said about us that we were honorable. You know, there may be a lot of things that we can't do, but everybody, I think, if we're saved, we can be faithful. That we can do. We can be faithful. And we can give our best. And I believe God honors that if we do. So here's Jabez. He was a man of honor. And then he also became a testimony to his generation. Notice, as you read this passage, read the verses before and then the verses after. I mean, he shines like a light here, doesn't he? All the people before him, all the people that are mentioned after him, there isn't anything said about them like it said about Jabez. So he shines out like a light. And we're also told to be lights in this dark world, aren't we? You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then on one occasion, he turns to his disciples and he said, you're the light of the world. Well, we don't have any light in ourselves, do we? But it's kind of like the moon. You know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. And so we reflect the light of Christ to a lost and dying world round about us. Does the world see Christ in us? You know, they should. They should, shouldn't they? They ought to see that we're different. So Jabez became a testimony to his generation. And then he's an encouragement to us today. Think about this. If Jabez could serve God and be victorious in his generation, where there's deadness all around him, if he could serve God and be victorious in his generation, so can we. You know, over the years, I've had folks tell me, I've had folks say, well, you know, the place where I work, it is so wicked. I can't really live for the Lord there. Really? I think you can live for the Lord anywhere if you want to. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying you can. And by the way, maybe that's why you're there. Maybe God put you in that place. Because those folks need to see the light, don't they? They may not see it otherwise. Think of folks that you have known over the years that have had an influence on you. Folks that were saved. And they let their light shine, and that had an influence. Yeah, that's why we're positioned in various places, I think. So we can let our light shine and so glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Well, Jabez is an interesting individual here. And going back to those verses, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil and that may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Well, may the Lord make us prosperous and make us a light to a lost and dying world like Jabez. May the Lord have his blessing on his word today. Let's bow for prayer. And just before we pray, maybe God has spoken to your heart about a matter and say, Brother Bob, I do have a need and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's true, we'd like to remember you in prayer today. Please pray for me. Thank you. Yes, I see that hand. Please pray for me. Someone else. Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Someone else. Please pray for me. I have a need and I wish you'd pray for me. We all need each other's prayers, don't we? Someone else today. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Spirit of God who takes it and applies it to our hearts. Lord, help us, I pray, to be like Jabez. Lord, how he stands out in this passage, Lord, as a light. Help us to be that light, I pray, to a world lost and dying round about us. And then I do pray for these who raised their hand. Lord, they have a need. You know what it is. I pray that you would meet it, Lord, as only you can do. Just have your way now, we pray now, in this invitation in Jesus' matchless name and for his sake we ask it. Amen.
Take our hymn books and turn to number 292.
Jesus is my nurse.
glad to be here today. We pray that we would take to heart the messages we heard today, particularly this one we just heard now. We pray that we would desire what Jabez did, to have your blessing on our lives. And obviously your blessing cannot be upon us when we dwell in sin. And so we pray that our hearts would be tender to the Holy Spirit, who points out those areas where we're not pleasing to you. And may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. And help us to take care of those issues that we have. And we pray that we would be a light to this world. And as was said already, that people will wonder, well, why is he or she so different from me? And want to ask about that hope that lies within us. And may we be ready for those opportunities. May your Spirit point out those times where we need to take the time to share your word with people. Even if it's only for a minute or two, you can still take that and use that in the life of somebody to bring them to Christ at some future time. So we pray that your will be accomplished in each of our lives. Give us a good day. Give us safety as we travel to our destinations. In Jesus' name, amen.